And that was so al tarba lismoyach zechar ki ruach chayecha atonotzer me offer ve'arischa rima. So a person should not be overly in a state of simcha. I mean, you should be in a state of simcha, but not too much. Remember that your life is ruach, which means that it's not grounded. It can fly away at any moment, and therefore you came from Ofer and you're going to go back to that. So this is the challenge of Yiddishkeit. The challenge of Yiddishkeit is balance. The Rambam talks about the idea that a person has to find the medium. He shouldn't be too much of a balgaiva, he shouldn't be too much of a nonav, he shouldn't be too much of a spendthrift, he shouldn't be too much of a person who's a miser. It's finding the balance. So one of the areas of balance, which is very challenging, is the balance of simcha with these bonus, that the things can be challenging. So the now, first let's translate simcha. That's the first thing we need to do. So simcha is not rejoicing. Simcha is contentment. Simcha is happiness. A person is just basically feeling very good about the situation, etc. So we feel good about the situation because the situation is good, and we continue. We believe it's going to continue as such. If I have a great situation, I know it's ending in a minute, so it's hard to feel good about it. Well, at any moment, the person's life can be taken away. We don't hope, we don't have any way to hold on to life. So, what result does that produce in a person? So that produces atzvus. The person is that can be saddening, it can be depressing, etc. So, but there's, the person needs to be simcha. So to find the balance between the simcha and the atzvus, is challenging. But the truth is, it doesn't have to be that. I think when the Rosh is saying al-tarba l'ismayach, he means that the state of simcha a person should have, the simcha was to translate into the exuberance and the all of that has to be tempered. How do you temper it? We understanding that it's temporary. So the temporary state of reality helps me temper my excitement. So the rejoicing is limited. The state of contentment doesn't have to be affected at all. Theoretically, if a person's holding the right madrega, I mean, there's nothing to be scared of death. We sort of relate to death as something very scary. If a person is really has a clarity, death is a transfer from the one world to the next. That's all it is. So, and that's a world where there'll be punishment, but there's going to be tremendous reward. So, there's nothing to be scared of. Chazal use a tremendous mashal when they talk about the Yom Avos, and it's like mind-boggling to think about it. That talks about the pasuk says in Kehelas that you should always have clean clothing. You shouldn't be soil yourself with the dirtiness of a virus, and you should be anointed. You should be sweet smelling. So Chazal say the mashal is to a wife of a sailor, who every day would get up and she would dress nicely and she would put on her perfumes, etc. The neighbor says, "You know, your husband's not home. What are you doing?" She says, "Well, every day I hope that maybe he'll end up having a very fair wind. It'll come home quicker than I expected. He'll walk in the door and he'll see me looking beautiful." That's the mashal, that we don't know when the day that we're going to be taken away is. So every day we should look beautiful, ready to go. So when we're called, we look beautiful. So Rabbi Yamin Zilber points out that Chazal should use the mashal of a woman awaiting her husband, which is a moment of anticipation, as the mashal for Yom HaMavis tells us how Chazal saw Yom HaMavis. They didn't see it as this scary day. This is the day that Hashem gets to go back to its creator. What's bad about that? Right? Elamai what? We take with us whatever we've accomplished in this world. So be ready. You know, do as best as you can. So when you go, but that's some idea that the neshama should go back to its creator. It can't be bad. The Archaim HaKadosh actually says this when the Torah says the Isser of Lois is going to do. So, Barim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, Lois is going to do, Lois is going to do, since you're Barim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, you're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, do not mutilate yourselves. So Rashi says, you know, the children of the king have to look nice. That's the flow of the pasuk. But the Archaim HaKadosh says, different pshat, it says a father sends his child away to a distant country to learn skills, to learn how to become independent. And he goes there, and he's there for a long time, and he develops friendships there, and he has a family. But the father told him, one day when I call you, you have to come back home. So they come, and the friends accompany him to the port. He gets on the ship, and it's very saddening. But it's not a tragedy. He's going home to his father. So it's saddening, but it's not a tragedy. So we're going back. We're born to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're the child going back to the father. Elamai what? It's saddening. I'll miss you. But it's not a tragedy. I can't mutilate myself because of that. That's how the Archaim HaKadosh understands the flow of the pasuk. It's a beautiful Archaim HaKadosh. I actually said it by my father's levaya. I was addressing my siblings. You know, I quoted that Archaim HaKadosh. Um, 1986, a few years ago. So. But now, if we put in that context that it's not a saddening moment, it's not a tragedy, so maybe there's something even positive about it. So I once heard on a tape from Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal that he says, have you ever listened to any of his tapes? So I'm not going to imitate the voice, but he had no compunction in saying what had to be said. He was such a straight shooter. It was like you would cringe sometimes how direct he was. So he says a story. They asked him to speak by a chasna. So one, you know, in Toronto till this day they speak by a chasna. When I grew up in Tells, Cleveland, they would speak by a chasna. Maybe it was a speech in honor of the Chosan Kaaba. They asked him to speak Berachasna. So he spoke about Yamam Mavis. Berachasna. This is straight from Avigdor Miller. So he says, so he's speaking now in his shir, and he's saying that's what he did. So after he spoke, Abatim got up. Abatim was the person who was made there to, you know, make it lively, and etc. But he says, Rabbi Miller made everybody sad. I'm going to make you all happy now. He says, he's making a mistake. There's nothing which makes you more happy than Yamam Mavis. No. Now, I relate to it. I happen to be by nature a very big procrastinator. And he points out in his Sefer and Bereishis, so Lamech lives to be 777 years old. Now, I don't know about you, if I know that I'm living to be 900, it's really be hard to get things done.
More in line with what I thought.
You know, I'll take care of it 100 years from now. Right? Like, what's the rush?
That if it's left,
the Bereshit gave mankind all those long years because they had to push it, they had to figure out how to develop the world.
Exactly.
They had to, you know, they were just starting the world of technology. You're starting from scratch. It's a lot of work. So you want to develop the wheel. You know, you finally figure out how to make the wheel, but you know, you need to have time to make 1,000 mistakes before you figure out how to make a wheel. And each one, you know, you're chipping away at the stone with the chisel. It takes a while, you know. So we're gonna get a lot of time to figure out how to make a plow. But you could also waste your time totally. So air is the most precious thing in the world. There's nothing more valuable and more precious, and there's nothing which we appreciate more than air. We only appreciate air when it's limited.
Oh, it's mushroom.
We don't think about it otherwise. When the scuba diver is underwater and he looks at his watch and he looks at his tank and he realizes that he has 3 minutes left of oxygen and he's 5 minutes from the surface, he appreciates air. and he finally breaks to the surface, that breath is the breath of life. Every breath is a breath of life. You go to the hospital, then the people who have congenital heart disease and they can't breathe, or they have emphysema and they can't breathe, every breath is a breath of life. So Brush of this Chesed gave us the ability to breathe and gave us air, he made air accessible everywhere. We don't appreciate it. When it becomes limited, we appreciate it. There's nothing more valuable than life. And the simcha of life is, there's no simcha greater than the simcha of life. We only appreciate it because it's going to end at some point in time. If it never ends, like, we never would appreciate it. So his point was that appreciating the simcha of life is to understand how valuable it is. Right? So there's a certain sense, there's more excitement in a luxury car than there is in air. Because luxury car is a luxury, and air is a necessity. But so the simcha that I have when I realize and I appreciate air is a different type of excitement than I appreciate a luxury car. So ultimately, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be happy. You have life. There's nothing more valuable than life. And Adarabba, Zachar Ki Ruach Hayecha, Tanoitza Me'ofer Ruach Rizcha Rima, means it's a limited thing. Enjoy it while you have it. Appreciate it. It's not the exuberance of, wow, it's the inner feeling of, I have something very special and I have to appreciate it. So that's the void of which he's asking us to do. That's to find how we can integrate the fact that time is limited shouldn't be a nemesis. It should be a vehicle to appreciate that we have time. One of Rabbi Miller's grandsons learned and tells. So he told me one time he walked into a Zayda, and his Zayda was standing there. He says, "I mean, you still watch this." There's a big basin of water, and he dunks his head into the water. 30 seconds, 40 seconds, 50 seconds, a minute. Finally, after like a minute plus, you know, the grandson's getting all nervous. He comes out and he takes this big breath of air. He says, the geschmack of air. And he wanted to train himself to appreciate the geschmack. How do you appreciate? When you don't have it, you appreciate it. So he pushed himself to the as far as he felt comfortable going, that it was like he was lacking air. He felt the lack of air. And now when they got air, he appreciated it. Right? The person who's given a second lease on life appreciates life more. The people would describe, they have these near-death experiences. They come back with a total appreciation of life because they know life is limited. So let's appreciate what we have. We'd rather not think about it because it's scary. But it's not scary, Bats. All of this is just a transfer to another world. It's not something we, you know, as long as, if we can get to the point where we think about it in a safe way, I don't know, it's a very valuable opportunity to appreciate the value of life. There's nothing more valuable than life, and that's the greatest symbol that there is. The Rosh gave us Matana called Chai. Once upon a time, people's Yom in the Rosh was like that. They had ability to, during Yom Neroyim, really appreciate the concept of din, and that life is not all automatic. It's the Rosh's decision. So, but that doesn't have to be paralyzing. Chazal said there's no Yom Tov like Yom Kippur. You know, and we relate to that, like, what does that mean? So we say, you know, because the purity, the Tara, Samela, we were happy about that. We're ignoring, there's the elephant in the room, which we're ignoring. Right? The answer, they weren't ignoring it. The fact that life is limited makes it more valuable. The fact that a person lives with the clarity that life is limited either could depress him or make him happy. That's his choice. Right? So Klai Yisrael was able in the Madrega to appreciate the gift called life. So the awareness that it's limited and that it's not a given, Ki Ruach Hayecho, it doesn't have to be something with saddening. It's something which Batsim should be. But obviously, it'll be a type of a simcha which I appreciate the value of it, so I'm going to do something good with it. I'm not just going to just dance. You know, I feel like I'm happy about it because I'm happy something, I have something of value. So, I'm only happy about something of value if I value it and I use it. If it ends up being useless to me, it's not valuable. Right? I have this gorgeous thing which I'm so scared of. I refuse to show it to anybody, so I don't really have anything to offer it. So I take it out when nobody's around and I caress it. You know, like, really, what am I doing? You know, I get to show it to people. I feel good about it. If I have a use in it, it's valuable. Life is useful So if I can learn to turn this thought process to make my life a full life, full of accomplishment and full of growth and full of things that I feel good about, so it's a very empowering moment. If I can't do that, it's very depressing. So I just want to think about it. So that's what he's trying to tell us, that you know, a person should try and find a way to generate a thought process of appreciating the value of life and the simple which that comes. And part of that is understanding that it's not infinite, it's not limitless, it's something which is a special matana, which is given a certain amount of time. And be the simple, you got such a special matana.